I've caught you. I said, I think you're going the wrong way.
No, I have to deliver.
And how about I saw him cycling down the
wrong way. Cycling?
So you couldn't find the parking place.
That's where it's quick space to get around.
You couldn't find the parking place.
How are you? Oh, hey, it's good. Sophie, I'm going
start of the Torreway, North West London, Tuesday. Purim, 14th of Adar, 3rd of March, Rabbi Jeremy Golke Shlita, Manal of Hasmonean, Purim, Hide and Seek. This week's Torah is sponsored by Nishmas, Gavriel Ben Yosef Dov Zifron Levrochas Yatzayt is on Yud Zayn Adar, Uli Nishmas, our esteemed founder, Yosef Dov Ben Shemuchol Tzvi, Itzkovitz Zichron Levrochol.
Okay, good Purim, everybody. Shkoyach for coming. My brother-in-law, sister, when they made the chasner of mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael, the Rav of their shul popped in just before on the Friday Erev Shabbos, and it was all happening a bit like it is on the streets outside. And he asked my sister-in-law how things, and she said, crazy lovely, crazy lovely. And when we have at home, that's the phrase we use to describe, we're walking the streets now, it's crazy lovely. It's Mamish Meshiga outside. So well done for braving the whatever's going on out there, for being here and carving out a bit of hope, a bit of normality within this, an island of normality within this craziness. I want to share with you a beautiful idea on Purim, just bits and bobs that I've pulled together, but a beautiful theme emerges which I hope will enhance the rest of this very special day. One of the famous questions on Purim is this. All the other Yom Tovim, the name of the Yom Tov goes to the very core of the Yom Tov. So for example, Rosh Hashanah, I know exactly what it's telling me. It's Reish Hashanah, it's the beginning of the year. Yom Kippur is the day of Kapara, of Slicha, Mechila. Sukkos, because we either sat in Sukkos or they were unrecovered, non-imamish. So we know what the Yom Tov refers to. And so it goes on. Pesach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Pesach, and he chose Klal Yisrael, Goy Mekerev Goy, etc., etc. Purim seems a little bit unusual. We laid in the Megillah this morning and last night. Al kein karu la yomim ha'ele Purim al shem ha'pur. Why is Purim called Purim? Because of the pur, the lot, the geirul, which was used to decide what day Purim is going to be. So what does that mean? That we know that basically they used a sort of a roulette wheel or something like that. It was a pur, they twirled, they spun it round. And which month is it going to be? Oops, it falls on Adar. Which day? Yud Gimel Adar. But this is a very sort of random, arbitrary detail of the whole story. If at the time, they were drinking a coffee, you're going to call the whole yont of coffee? It's as relevant as the thing they used to choose the date. And yet, that is the name upon which this yont of is called. So it seems to be a bit strange and arbitrary. But the truth is, it's not, of course. And it really goes to the core of the day. Haman is a representative of Amalek, as we know. Amalek's philosophy is Mikra. We learned on Parsha Zohar a few days ago, Ashekarcha Baderech. Rashi gives three pshatim. The first pshat that he gives, Ashekarcha, is Loshen Mikra. They happen to be in the Midbar as we were coming out. What does that mean? It means that they had a philosophy of Mikra. Everything they did was chance, it was random, which essentially is a heretical idea denying the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Hashkocha of this world. That's the philosophy of Amalek. Haman was no fool. He chose the day to deliver the genocide against Klal Yisrael in a totally random, arbitrary way. He just spun a roulette wheel. And I'm saying, there's all random. Purim represents the philosophy of Amalek it's another way of espousing the philosophy of Mikra. That's what the name represents. And therefore, Purim is telling us that it's all random, it's all arbitrary. Amalek wants to inject a spirit of Mikra in Klal Yisrael. Moshe Sternbuch says an amazing thing. Rashi says there, Ashekorcho Baderech, he actually says three pshatim. The first pshat is, Ashekorcho Baderech is Loshen Mikre. It's a chance, it's a happenstance. The second pshat he gives is Loshen of Keri. Keri is Loshen of Tumah. And the third pshat is Kair V'chaim, that he wanted to chill, to cool off our emunah and our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Moshe Sternbuch, actually it all boils down to the same thing. That really, what does it mean, Ashekorcho Baderech? That Amalek wants to instill a philosophy of Mikra in Klal Yisrael, which will contaminate and make Klal Yisrael impure by cooling off our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all the same thing. And therefore, they want to instill this concept of Mikra, of chance, of perhaps, maybe, Sofik. Years ago, I don't remember it, on London buses, there was, I think, the Atheist Society. They have a lot of money, and they wanted to have an advertising campaign. And on the London buses, driving all up and down the town, there was an advert saying, I can't remember exactly the Lashon, but it was something like, maybe there's a God. Maybe. That's the point. They want to instill this concept of Sofik. Sofik, of course, is Gematria, well-known 240, which is the Gematria of Amalek. The real simcha of Purim and the real simcha of Adar is dismissing that sofik. Ein simcha k'moy siluk sveikus. That is real simcha. Real simcha is understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. That not only generates simcha, but it's the most comforting thing ever. And really, we're living in very tumultuous times. Right now, Acheinu Bnei Yisrael, the majority of Klal Yisrael now are living in Eretz Yisrael. We're living in remarkable times in Jewish history. And the majority of Klal Yisrael are under threat. Running, we've all got family and friends there, and running in and out of shelters. And, you know, we're living in very strange times. But perhaps the biggest nechama is that there's no such thing as Mikra. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the show. He's puppeteering from on high. And that really is what Purim is all about. Let's see. Let me share with you something astonishing. This is breathtaking. It was worth, what you're going to hear in the next 4 or 5 minutes, is worth coming to Torah Way on Purim in the middle of this crazy day just for this. Listen to this. There is a medrash in Esther Rabbah which says, look at this, box number 2. Kol makom shenemba b'megillah zu l'melech ha-chashveirosh v'melech ha-chashveirosh ha-kotzav medabeh. So whenever we lay this morning, last night in the Megillah, melech ha-chashveirosh, it means king ha-chashveirosh. V'chol makom shenemba l'melech stam Meshamish Kodesh v'chol. It's referring either to Chol, to a regular king Achashverosh, or Lahavdil Kodesh Ta'Kodesh Baruch Hu. So when it says Melech, it's either referring to Achashverosh or Lahavdil Ta'Kodesh Baruch Hu himself. V'chol. I think it means either or. So it doesn't always mean necessarily, because I think there are sometimes, I think. Now, listen to this. The first Mishnah of Maseches Megillah, i.e., Perek Aleph Mishnah Aleph says this, famous Mishnah. Megillah Nikras Bachadaso Beshneimaso Beshleishaso Barboso Bechamishaso Lepochus V'Loyoseh. In times of Chazal, you could technically read the Megillah on either the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th of Adar. Lepochus V'Loyoseh, Lepochus means not on the 10th, not less than that. V'Loyoseh, not beyond then on the 16th. Now, I know it's difficult, and it's not easy. You try doing this in an hour or two after you're in the middle of your Suddhas. But add up and try this, your Suddhas. Can you please add up those five numbers? 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Any volunteers?
65.
Very good. It's like being back in school. There's always one boy who's cheating. And he always goes like that.
I'm paying attention to the teachers.
Oh, really, really. He says
correct.
The same.
I checked it.
You checked it. Okay. Yeah? Doctor, you're okay? 11 plus 12 plus 13 plus 14 plus 15 is 65. Okay, listen to this. There are two Shemas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many names. What does that mean? There are different ways in which he relates to us, in which he manifests himself to us. Two of the most common names we use for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, number one is the Shem Adnus, Aleph and Adalet Nun and Yud. The second name is the Shem Havoya, Yud, Ahei, Avov, and Ahei. What's the difference between the two? Shem Adnus is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to us through nature. No overt miracles, no splitting of the Yamsuf, no makas, only through nature. The Shem Adnus is HaKadosh Baruch Hu relating to us through miraculous means, through overt miracles. Therefore, the story of Purim has no miracles. You go through the story of the Megillah, each chapter leads on to the next one. They're all natural things. There is a guy who is a king. He wants to have a celebration. What's his celebration? He's celebrating the fact that there's no Beis Hamikdash, etc., etc. So, 7 years have come, nothing's happened, according to his cheshbon, he has a party. If he drinks for a long time, he gets shikha. When he gets shikha, he's a very promiscuous, licentious person, so he wants to parade his wife in front of everyone else. She refuses to come. Off with her head. He hasn't got a wife, so he needs to get a new wife. He has a pageant, he has a beauty competition, and he chooses a wife. It happens to be Esther. Esther wins, and then it so happens Bigthan and Zeresh are plotting against the king. It so happens Mordechai understands. There's nothing untoward in all of this. They're just normal things. But of course, when you take a look at the end and you realize the whole thing is orchestrated by Kodesh Baruch Hu, that is the Shem Adnus. Listen to this. I've once heard this from Elimelech Bidman. 11 and 12 and 13, 14 and 15, the days when you couldn't read the Megillah, add up to 65, which is the gematria of Aleph and Dalet and Nun and Yud. Aleph and Dalet and Nun and Yud, 1 and 4 and 50 and 10 is 65. So the days when you can read the Megillah is Shem Adnus, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is relating to us through natural means. Lei Pachas v'lo Yoseh, not less than not more, not 10, not 16. 10 and 16 is 26. That's Yudke Vovke. I.e. the whole theme of Purim is 65 and not 26. HaKadosh Baruch Hu applying himself, manifesting himself to us through natural means, not through miracles. Remarkable. Now, there is a Megillah, Gemara in Megillah, Tezayin on the base. The Gemara says, many of you I'm sure you've got kosher Megillahs, you follow the Megillah from. Ronnie for sure has. And you'll notice, when you look at the Megillah, you'll see that the Ksav is beautifully straight. It's perfectly straight. Now, it doesn't have to be if you think about it. Maybe the Sofer is not such a perfectionist. You know, really, there are some things which don't need, how do they get it so straight? So I'll tell you their secret. There's something called sirtut. Sirtut means they take a sharp pen and they draw lines in the klaf and then they start writing. Says the Gemara in Megillah, Tezayin on Beis, Divrei Shalom ve'emes Omer bitanchum v'amri l'omer basi melamed shetzricha sirtut kamita shel teira. Just like a Sefer Torah needs sirtut, it needs to be perfectly straight, and therefore you do sirtut, you scratch out of the mark rulings, well, so too the Megillah as well. Now, mezuzah doesn't necessarily need to be like that. Tefillin doesn't need to be like that, so you can write it just freehand, fine. But when it comes to Megillah, it's got to be like that. Why? I once heard from Rabbi Zev Lef, beautiful thing. Think about when the Sofer is beginning writing the Megillah. He has got a blank piece of cloth with a mark underneath, with a hidden line. And he's going to write out the story on this hidden line, or underneath this hidden line. That represents the fact that the story is unfolding, not in a random way, but it's following a certain line. You can't see it, but Zewer, Kodesh Baruch Hu, is puppeteering from on high. He's got the whole story planned out. It's just following this invisible line. The Sirtut Kamita Shel Torah represents the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan, and the whole story, the Megillah, is following this plan, which is hidden to our human eye. There is a remarkable halach in Shulchan Aruch. You know, everyone has party tricks. What does that mean? You know, people can go, we've got a fellow who eats with us regularly. One of his sidelines is that he's a magician. So he entertains in, does children's parties and things like that. So often, when he comes to us for a meal, you know, we'll ask him to do a few tricks. Fine. I'll give you a party trick. You know, there are some people who are always very good at knowing the calendar. They'll tell you, what's your English birthday? What year were you born? They'll tell you what day of the week it was, and what the Hebrew date is, and what your bar mitzvah parasha was. Right? There are some people out there, I've got a friend who can do that. So let me tell you some of his tricks. Take a look, it's a Shulchan Aruch. Take a look at Pox number 4. This is in Shulchan Aruch, in Tov Chof Ches, Sif Gimel. Simen Lekvias HaMoedim. You know, you want to know what day of the week Tisha B'Av is going to be? What day of the week Simchas Torah is going to be? It's all codified. Simen Lekvias HaMoedim. The key is, you got to know when Pesach is. Simen Lekvias HaMoedim is At bash gach gar tak hatz vof. What does that mean? Pirush. B'yom rishon shel Pesach. We know Pesach this year is on a Thursday. Thursday, Friday is Yom Tov. The first day of Pesach, yeh la'olam tishbov. That's always going to be, this, and this year indeed, the first day of Pesach is on a Thursday. So, tishbov this year is taka going to be on a Thursday. And the simon is, al matzah is merim yochluhu. Al matzah is the same day when you're having your matzahs, merim yochluhu, you're going to have tishbov. Okay. B'yom beis, the second day of Pesach, by Shavuos, so indeed this year, the second day of Pesach is on a Friday. Shavuos is going to be on the first day is going to be on a Friday. But Yom Gimel, the third day of Pesach, which is a Shabbos, by Rosh Hashanah. So this year indeed, Zimitz Hashem, Rosh Hashanah is going to be on a Shabbos. But Yom Dalet, the fourth day of Pesach, which this year, of course, let's say is a Sunday, Kriyas HaTorah, Shu Simchas Torah, so the fourth day of Pesach this year is a Sunday. This year, Mitz Hashem, Simchas Torah will be on a Sunday. But Yom Hei, fifth day of Pesach, for example, this year is on a Monday. So it's by Yom Kippur, that's the day of Yom Kippur this year, Mitz Hashem. And the Yom Vav, which is the sixth day of Pesach, which this year is a Tuesday today, by Purim, it's going to be Purim She'ovah, which is today, Tuesday. Fine. Interesting. All the days are forward-looking, apart from Purim, which is backward-looking. How fascinating. How fascinating. Take a look at this. Turn over the page. Says the Kedushas Levi. The Novin Lama Meira al Kol Yontif Lahabov al Purim Alova. Says the Kedushas Levi. How interesting. All the Simonim, the first day Pesach is going to be the first day of Tishvav. The second day is going to be Shavuos. It's all of the coming year. The Rosh on the back. Why? Listen to this. Look at this. Magic. Ki Mavua B'Ramban, Shaitan Ramban. HaKadosh Parshas Boi B'Soifai. Shakadosh Baruch Hu Eseh Tomin Nisim Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does Nisim with Kal Yisrael the whole time. K'nemar, as it says in Moedim, Al Musecha Shebechol Yoyim. Vanif Rusecha V'Tev Yisecha. Rak, She'en Yodu Alanu. Ayin Sham. The Ramban says we don't always recognize it because we're just too, you know, it's, we just think it's natural. Ki HaKral Yesh Nisim Dignum Yisrael. She'u L'mal Minateh. But there are Nisim which are supernatural. Kaneshi Yisiyas Mitzrayim V'Kriyas Yam Suf. That goes against the natural laws of the world. They're supernatural. But there are nisim which are dressed up in teva. Like the story of Purim. Etc. It all looks like natural. But when the nisim which are lemalam min ha-teva, kaneshal yitzias mayim, then we recognize that the Nisim Guluyim relate the fact that everything is an ace, that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki min ha-nigle nirish ha-nis de-nase b'teva hu rak el yedei Hashem levado v'lo b'teva klal. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervenes with nature, that shows us that actually everything, even teva, is a miracle. V'hine, kol ha-nisim she-kosuv v'ter ad yisiyas Mitzrayim. All the miracles that happened until Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kegoin, Hamelchomah she'asa Avram im Abar Melachim, the Avram Avinu battled with four kings, Vashan Nisim, Hoyenire Kateva, it all looks like Teva. He's just doing, you know, he's a battle, guerrilla warfare. It sometimes can happen. But once you've got the miracles of Mitzrayim, Niskale Oz, Shekol Mashenasim and Briyas Olam, that actually in retrospect, everything that happened from the times of Yisias Mitzrayim, of Briyas Olam, Tahainu Horav, the Sovish on Mitzrayim, all the famine in the times of Yosef, and the years of satiation, Vashar Nisim Shekosu Batera, Kanal Hoya Hakol Min Hashem Levado, Velo Beteva Klau. It wasn't supernatural, it was all really from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kimin Anigle, etc. Vachashe Bi'anu Shanes Purim Hoya Gam Kein Beteva, and of course the miracle of Purim also was cloaked in Teva, Rak min Hanation, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Nirish Hakol Ein Teva Klal, Rak min Hashem Levadoi, and that's Pshat in our Mechaber. V'zel Shomer Asimun At Bashgar Dak Hat Alabo. The first five are future looking. Ki bePesach Nisgale Umar Yisrael Hashem Levadoi. Once there was Pesach, we now can understand that everything is future looking. V'lohem Kovah Hayom Tov, and that's Kovah the Yom Tov ahead. L'kach Mera Alabo, and therefore it's forward looking. Ki oz mi oz, from that moment in time, Niskala Avas Hashem Yisrael, v'nitzim Yisrael ha-yomtev, the love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu has become apparent, and therefore from then on it's considered the yomtev. The vaf, the last one, Moira al Purim She'ovar, Dahainu Lahiris, Al kol ha'maisim ha'shanas ad yitzim Yisrael. That all the miracles that happened prior to Yitzias Mitzrayim, shehoyu nira k'teva, that looked like teva, v'chein ha'nes to Purim, shenira k'teva, and so too, the miracle of Purim, which looked like teva, meire vaf, she'ina b'teva klal, kol ha'naisim anal. They were not miracles at all. They were not supernatural. They were just from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rak ha'kol mi'Hashem, it wasn't just nature, it was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'mais ha'Hashem huvelo b'teva klal. Says the Kedushas Levi, that's why Purim is l'she'ova, because when you look back and you suddenly realize this is all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no such thing as teva. There's no mikra, and that's why perhaps when it says in the Megillah towards the end, v'yimei Purim o'ele lo yavim toicha Yehudim zichrom lo Yosef mizarom, says the Medrash in Mishlei, kol ha'moyadim asidim betelim. All in future, l'asid lavoi, all the yom tovim will go. V'yimei ha'purim einim betelim lo'ele, but not Purim. Why? Shneimar v'yimei Purim o'ele, etc. Because the miracles of Purim surpass other yom tovim. Although other yom tovim are very impressive, they do not endure. After the miracles pass, we backtrack, but not so with Purim, because they've got that lasting effect. It's hidden, as it were, behind the scenes. Let me share with you a remarkable story. Years ago, there was a frum businessman who lived in New York. He had a business meeting quite far away at 8 o'clock on a Monday morning. He had to, either he left at 3 o'clock from his house, 3 a.m. on Monday morning early, or what he decided to do is to go on Sunday afternoon. He'd get there 4 hours and then sleep overnight and he'd be there nearby the next morning. The trouble is, New York, as we saw last week, has very heavy, very severe winters and sometimes very, very heavy snowstorms. He was driving out of New York, the city, and he gets caught in this very heavy snowstorm. After a couple of hours driving, he realizes he's got several hours to go. There's no way he's going to make it. The traffic's coming to a grinding halt. He can't carry on writing. The snow is that high. So he pulls up. He sees, he's trying to find a place for the night. He gets out of his car with his overnight bag. He starts walking the streets. He sees a building. And it looks like some sort of hotel, a small motel or something. He goes there and he goes to the front desk and he says, "Excuse me, is it possible to have a room for the night?" He says, "This is an old age home, sir. This is a senior citizen center." He says, "Okay, but I'm stuck. Maybe there's a spare room." He says, "Yes, there is one." He goes, "No, I'll pay for it. Can I take it?" "Fine, take it." He sleeps, goes to bed. It's late at night. He wakes up the next morning. He comes back to the front desk and he says, "Listen, this is New York. Is there other Jewish people here? Are there residents? You know, I'm looking for a minyan to pray." So he said, "Well, we had one Jewish resident, but he actually happened to pass away last night. A fellow called Stuart Rosenberg." He said, "I'm so sorry." So his family had taken care of the funeral. So he said, "No, he had no family. He was never married, no children." So he says, "Who's taking care of the funeral?" He says, "Well, the council will come." He says, "No, but he's Jewish. He needs to be buried according to Jewish practice." He says, "Well, give me 5 minutes." He calls his friend on the Chevra Kadisha and he says, "Look," he explains what happens. And the guy says, "Look, my Chevra Kadisha friend is going to look into it. Just give me time." "Fine." The Chevra Kadisha guy calls back and goes, "Look, fine, we'll deal with it, but it's going to cost a lot of money because he's not part of our Chevra. He's going to buy a plot of land." "How much is it going to cost?" $14,000 to buy a plot of land. He didn't know. So he said, "Well, where are you going to get that from?" So he says, "Look, give me a few minutes. I'm going to call the head of Chevra Kadisha." He calls the head of the Chevra Kadisha. The head of the Chevra Kadisha hears the whole story. The guy's in the Mitzvah. He says, "Look, 20 years ago, a guy came along, gave a big nadava. We've had it on our accounts for all these years. We were waiting for a rainy day. Today's the rainy day. Let's use the money that was put aside all those years ago." They use the money. This Stuart Rosenberg has his kovod achron and is buried kadas for kadin according to halacha. That night, the head of the Chevra Kadisha comes home reflecting on the day, this very strange situation, Buffalo, New York. He looks through his ledgers, he's curious to reflect on the day, and he's curious just to find out who was that guy who gave the donation 20 years ago. The name almost jumped out of the page. His name was Stuart Rosenberg. The guy who passed away in the old age home was a successful businessman. 20 years earlier, he gave a random donation of a lot of money to this Chevra Kadisha, and ultimately paid for his own funeral. Now, here's the point. A cynical person will look at that story and will say the following. You know, yeah, that's businessmen have early morning meetings. It snows in New York. They have heavy winters. People get stuck in traffic. He happened to pass this place. He needed a place for the night. Old men happen to pass away. That's a cynical way of looking at it. But if you look at it through the eyes of Purim, you realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is puppeteering from on high. That is what Amalek was trying to do. They were trying to inject a principle of Mikre and Klal Yisrael, Asher Korcho Baderech. That's what contaminates us, and therefore they were trying to inject that. We dismiss that concept of Mikra and Sofik, and we say, Ein Simcha Kamo Siluk Sfekus. That's what Purim is all about. We recognize that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Purim is 65. 11 and 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 represents the theory that the same Adnus, that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's manifesting himself through Teva, not through miraculous means, not through Yud Kei Vav Kei, Lo Pachas V'lo Yosef, not 10 and 26. That's why the Megillah needs Sirtut, to show that a story is unfolding according to a hidden line that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself only knows, and that's why the Mechaber refers to all the other Yom Tovim in the future, but Purim is L'She'ova. It's only with hindsight do we appreciate that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mis Hashem, we should be Zeichet to have Surah Tovim from Eretz Yisrael, and we should look back and see that everything really was a L'Tovah that should come together with us from Heira of Yomeinu. Amen.
Sorry, can you just... I didn't have properly right before this. Sorry, I didn't quite catch that in the end. Why the car? Is yours?
It's Ronnie.
I didn't quite...